Hello, everybody. That you are all good. I hope that you're all amazing. I hope that life is treating you well. I'm big fat exhausted. I'm just gonna tell you right now. I'll tell more at the life update at the end. But I'm big fat bloody exhausted. When I tell you I'm exhausted, I mean it. I'm so tired. But this episode, I'm just gonna jump right into the interview, by the way. Davina bloody de Campo, and when I tell you, because, you know, when you have these people, like, she's, like, obviously an actual celebrity. And you never know, like, what. Like, so I had Tia Coffee on, didn't I? I had Cheryl Hall. I've spoke to them both quite a lot. I've not really had, like, much convos with Davina before. But when I tell you, unreal. Just such a lovely girl. Well, whatever. She don't care about her pronouns. But just an amazing person. Really just amazing, and you'll notice that in our interview, well, not our interview, our chat, whatever you want to call it, and she was just so bloody lovely, so intelligent. I knew that she was intelligent. I feel like she's far more intelligent than, like, you might expect, though, just in general, like, far beyond her years, because she's not, I think she's turned 38 today. So, and the amount of, like, knowledge that she has on, like, politics, everything, she's just so bloody intelligent, and as well as that, she's funny as fuck, and just a lovely person, and really talented, and really creative and cool. So it'd be lovely having a chat with her, and we talk about many things. Mostly, what I wanted to touch on was that, you know, like, LGBTQ rights have come a long way, but they still have a long way to go, especially in certain parts of the UK, obviously. It's the same for other countries, but I didn't want to talk on something that I'm not as educated about, so I'd rather talk on my own experiences, like being a small, I was going to say a small boy, a boy from a small town in the north of the UK. So I just hope that you all bloody love it. I hope that it's a nice, lovely episode, and then got some announcements at the end that I think will be quite exciting for you all, so stay tuned. And, yeah, I hope that you absolutely, big fat, love her, because I know that I bloody well did, and I know that you all will too. So get ready to have to listen to a funny convo that you might bloody learn something in. You just might.
I just want to be me.
right. Like I said, I'll speak to you all at the end. So love you, buddy, big fat, lots. Hello, everybody. We are here with somebody that's a little bit of an icon. A bit of a legend, and her initials, you might be familiar, I don't know, DDC, does that ring a bell? It's Davina bloody de Campo.
Hiya! How you doing, Max?
Oh, I forgot to tell you about the soundboard, by the way. Sorry if that just scared you, it's quite loud. Oh, God. Oh, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, joyous that I'm here with you.
Oh, everybody says that, and I can't blame them, because I'm bloody amazing. I am bloody amazing. Right, well, we just spoke. I'm glad that you're here. I'm very glad that you're here. And I've just got a lot that I want to talk to you about. Little bit of background on me in general and my podcast. So if you can't tell, I am very northern. And I am actually, yeah, and I'm from a really small, like, northern town, and now I live in London, and I started to randomly post on social media about a year ago, just chatting shit, because that's what I do best, and it's suddenly taken off, and now I have all these followers, and I don't know what to do with them, and I decided, instead of just being a dickhead, I would put it to good use, and just try and help other people that might have similar stories to me, that are from northern towns, that are afraid to come out, afraid to do X, Y, and Z, and just smash life, really, because that's what they should do. So
yeah,
then,
absolutely.
So then I thought, who else is absolutely smashing life? And I thought of the bloody DDC. So here you are.
From a little northern town.
Exactly. So a lot of the questions that I get from people, if it's just like DMs or something, is, well, the overwhelming consensus is that people are scared. Scared to leave their town, scared to come out, scared of who they are. So I just thought somebody like you, who has probably had a lot of those same emotions that I did, and you've fully come out the other side as literally like a glistening LGBT icon. So I just wanted to have a chat with you about it, or really, to be honest with you.
Great, gorgeous.
Yeah, so you are from a town called Brighouse, is that correct?
Whereabouts
is that?
So, like, if you're looking at Yorkshire, people kind of know Huddersfield. Well, they know
Okay.
So Brighouse is kind of in between the two of them. And then Leeds and Bradford are really close as well. Bradford's like 5-10 minutes drive away. Leeds is 20 minutes, 30 minutes away. You know, so it's kind of in and around that area of West Yorkshire.
Is it York? Yeah, so Yorkshire then.
Yeah, and most people only know it either because they drive past it on the motorway and there's the car auctions there.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned it on the show and I'd never heard of it. Because I remember you literally screamed it like multiple times. Yeah. Love that. Brighouse! Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And then one day I was driving down the motorway and I saw a sign for it and I was like, DDC?
Yeah. That's it. So, that's the one.
Oh.
I can't remember what junction it is, though. I should know that, really, shouldn't I? But I can't remember.
You should get merch of the junction.
Maybe I should. That should be.
To be honest, your Brighouse's biggest export, I think that you should have a sign next to where it says Brighouse, just a view.
I mean, I don't know that I can actually claim that, because Embrace are from Brighouse as well.
Oh, I don't know what Embrace is.
So, from like 2000, Embrace were kind of doing the middle of the road rock band, indie pop. I mean, more kind of indie rock.
Yeah.
So they were quite a big export. And then Brighouse and Rastrick Brass Band are world famous. And if you grew up in Brighouse, then you knew Brighouse Brighouse and Rastrick Brass Band. Well, they're in Brastoff and they're in various different films and stuff like that. So,
all right, okay.
Yeah, and they
lovely.
You know, won competitions all over the place.
Oh, well, do you know what? You nearly won a competition, and in many people's personal opinion, you should have won a competition, but it don't matter. We won't talk about that anyway. Davina, in my opinion, you are Brighouse's biggest export. So,
thank you.
Edit hashtagging, guys. Hashtag Davina De Campo sign next to Brighouse sign at whatever junction it's at. Get that hashtag in now, guys.
That's it. That hashtag, it's going to go wild.
Easy. I can see it happening now. So you are from Brighouse. As you grew up there, so we're taking back only a few delicate years.
Two or three.
What would you, how would you describe LGBT rights or just inclusivity as a whole? From Brighouse at the time of which you grew up.
Non-existent. So we're talking kind of 90, I was born in 83, so 93 I'm 10. So we're talking kind of 97, aren't we? When you're like 14, 15 and you're starting to sort of work things out. Ooh,
yeah.
He's nice. Oh, I quite like
what's that?
Meet him in a dark alley, dear. Yeah, non-existent at all. We're still in the kind of the depths of Section 28. That wasn't repealed till 2003. So in Scotland, they repealed it in 2000. And then it took us, for England and Wales, another 3 years to repeal that. So it made being a queer kid in a little northern town, it made it really, really difficult because nobody was talking about it. You know, nobody was talking about it.
Well, I was going to ask, I was going to ask, what if, just in case anybody doesn't know, could you explain what Section 28 is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Section 28 was a piece of legislation that banned the promotion of homosexuality as an equal family lifestyle as heterosexuality. So you weren't allowed to say that it was equal to your 2.4 kids family unit, which obviously just does a lot of damage anyway.
Of course.
Because then you're telling you're basically telling queer kids that they're second class citizens. Essentially what you're saying to them, because we know that you exist, but we're just not going to talk about you. Which again, you know, really a very strange logic to have come through the AIDS epidemic and the crisis through the late 80s into the early 90s and go, right, how are we going to tackle this? Let's not talk about it.
That'll do it.
Great. I know how to stop something being a problem. We just won't talk about it. So just a really fucked up sense of how to make things better. Let's just pretend it's not there and we'll sweep it under the carpet. And then they'll just go away. There won't be gay people if we don't talk.
Oh, yeah. That worked out, didn't it? Sorry, see how that bloody worked out.
Dancing down the street. Woo!
Oh, God, just tell that to Prince George.
Bless that little.
Oh, absolute icon. Icon.
So, I mean, that's, you know, just a really weird mentality around everything. And it was just a really homophobic environment. People just literally shouting fag at you in the street, or queer, or puff, or chasing you, or punching you. It was just a really homophobic environment. Things did get a lot better once there were more queer people being seen on TV. So there was like a show called This Life that had some gay characters in it. There was another show called Just Life, which was like set in America.
I've heard about that. It was like one of the very first reality TV shows, wasn't it?
Not that one, but also that. There was another one that was like a mini. There was like a different story each week, so it was the same kind of main character, but she met these different people each week. And it was about their story rather than about her. So that was like the first place where I saw a trans character. I mean, of course, they're a trans character, so they must be a sex worker and they have to die. Otherwise, they can't be trans and on TV.
Obviously, everybody knows that. That's just the rule.
But that, then Queer as Folk, and, you know, Lily Savage was on breakfast TV every morning, sitting in a bed chatting with people in full drag. So there was more of a conversation about queer culture and queer people being had, but it was still like it was a very lad orientated culture in the 90s. You know, Nuts had just come out before, and it was before it became like
our favorite magazine.
Exactly. It was like how to get the girls. Get a girl in five easy steps. How to get her in your bed. You know, it was all that kind of stuff. It was very kind of lad culture.
Yeah.
And very, just toxic masculinity.
Absolutely.
That's essentially what it was.
Absolutely. Like, I'm from a small town as well near Manchester. It's called Darwen. It's just above Bolton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I sound like Paddy McGuinness. Not keen, but here we are.
I lived in Bolton for a while, actually.
Did you?
I lived in Bolton for about 3 years.
I love Bolton.
I mean,
not much going on.
You know.
Yeah, fair enough. No. Not much going
on
in Bolton.
They've got their own pride. Pride in Bolton's been going 10, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years.
Yeah,
like
quite
that.
Recent.
I've been there from the beginning. And I've been at every single one apart from two. I think I was busy. Sorry, guys.
It is, but like even me growing up now, like I'm 22, so I went to high school in 2010, I think, or 2011. Yeah. And I remember, like you say, I kind of gathered that I was gay and like queer when I was probably like, 14, 15, 16 years old. And my reaction was to just shield it and hide it and be more laddie and get a girlfriend and like not like, because, and that came out of pure fear because I had all a laddie lad like group of mates. And like you say, it was weird because it was a time in school where things were in place, like anti-bullying like things, and we'd have anti-bullying lessons and there would be like such big punishments. It's like there was a boy in my school in my year that committed suicide because he was being bullying, but because he was being bullied. And after that, there was like huge like lay down of all the rules, all the laws and everything. But when it comes to things like you say, like saying faggot or saying you're gay, like shut up, like gay boy, like, and like maybe like a little punch, little hit or something. Mm. That's something that even teachers would overlook. And it is something that led somebody like me to hide for so long. And I didn't come out until I was 18. And the reason that I came out was because I was actually at the Ariana Grande concert, the Manchester one where the bomb went off. And I remember thinking in that moment, because I'd like told myself that I was gay like a year before that. And I was doing like the usual, like you said, back alleys, not nice, but we've all done it. Not really, not really. Cheeky. No, I really did not. We'd advanced to Grindr by then, so I didn't need to like go to a back alley. So I've been doing things like that. And then I remember I would like go out with my friends, come back and then like meet a stranger in the night whilst I was really drunk and then pretend that it didn't happen the next day, like get more drunk to like make sure that my memory was like a bit foggy and everything, which looking back as a 16, 17 year old boy, that dangerous. Is insanely dangerous. But I did that for a full year and I had come to terms with the idea that I don't know where I'm going to end up. Like I could just stay here. If I stayed here, then I would 100% have to just hide it forever. I'll get a wife. I'll have kids. I'll do all that wifey kid loving life, go on holidays. Mm. And then I'll just pretend for like forever. And then, like I say, I was involved in the terrorist attack. And I remember thinking one of the first things that I thought was I could have fully just died and some random like boys and men in the middle of the night know more about me effectively than like the people that I love so much. And it's a shame that it took something like that for me to have that thought process of being like, I'm gonna come out, tell everybody whilst I'm still here, then I'm gonna go to this city, use all my creative talents that I've got, do this, do that, and make a life for myself. But some people don't have that moment where they're like shocked into it. So that's why I wanted to start this podcast, to like tell different stories about times where you might have been beaten down laws, you might have overheard something that's causing fear, but then you've thought, do you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to go and bloody do me. So a question that I have for you is, when was that moment for you? Or did you always just know, I'm leaving?
Camp as Christmas. There was
no
there was no hiding for me.
Was like, did you say was, sorry?
I mean, yeah, well, you know.
All right, okay, yeah.
But you know, there was no way that I was going to be able to hide. There was no way that I was going to be able to pretend. I just wasn't that kid. I got this voice for a start. So you know, as soon as I opened my trap, never mind my face, just you hear me and you go, oh, okay, yeah, little gay boy. And so I sort of have this thing where if people are telling me that, you know, I know that I'm nice to people. I try and look after people. I try and be a decent person. I'm not always. Sometimes I'm horrible to people. Sometimes
who
they
isn't?
Deserve it.
Yeah.
So at school, it was it was school wide for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I preferred it in a way that it was me rather than somebody who was, like you say, with your school colleague. I preferred that it was me rather than somebody like him who was going to really struggle with that and go home and do something that was, you know, not going to end well for anybody.
Yeah.
Whereas I knew that I was not going to stay in Brick House. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked at these people. I looked at their parents. I could see a lot of these kids, their lives were planned out already.
Yeah.
You know, they were going to do exactly that. They were going to stay in Brick House. They were going to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They were going to get married. They were going to have kids when they were young. And they were going to stay in Brick House forever. And there was nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
But when you're surrounded by people who are vile to you, that's not what you want. You don't want to be around those people. And that's what I, you know, sort of said to myself, okay, these people are all going to stay here. So I'm not. I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to do something different with my life. And that mentality really saved me because, like, you know, every break time, every lunchtime, there was somebody screaming and shouting at me and, you know, people pushing and shoving and doing whatever. And that was just like a daily occurrence for me. So, like I said, you know, I'm not perfect. So kind of at least once a term, the red mist would just descend and I would just beat the hell out of somebody.
Good.
Being, you know, chatting shit at me in the...
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm not saying that that's a good way to deal with it.
Mm.
But for me at the time, because of the...
Desperation.
And because of the situation with Section 28, it meant that a lot of the teachers who could have done something felt like they couldn't. And the teachers who were homophobic and didn't want to do anything were given a free pass. You know, this was a bullying issue. It wasn't a gay issue. It was bullying. And because of the legislation, those teachers felt like they couldn't do anything when actually they could have done. You know, there was plenty that they could have done, but they made a choice not to. They didn't challenge any of the bullying towards me. So I just beat people up instead.
Fair enough. Do you know what? I'd bloody well do the same. But it is crazy though. So you mentioned like the legislation changing, and I imagine that was something that had great impact in places like you say, like schools, where now teachers wouldn't feel as though they're literally breaking the law if they are to stand up for a queer kid. But in some cases, still now, there are still instances where teachers ignore certain things. And it is a lot of the times older teachers that maybe were brought up that way and just think like, shut up, get on with it, that's nothing, blah, blah, blah. But I find it, so like, obviously I experienced it when I was in school. Even if it wasn't targeted at me, I would see another kid or another person be like discriminated against, like bullied, and it would be ignored. And even my younger sister, she's 13 now, and she told me recently that a teacher at her school was saying, because it was National International Women's Day, wasn't it?
Yes.
About a month ago or something.
Was also the same week where Meghan Markle was being lambasted in the press, and somebody else had been murdered. It was like that whole week. It was just
Sarah Everard.
Terrible stories about the way that women have been treated. Yeah.
So if anything, so basically my little sister's, because of social media and everything, she was like very clued up on that. And a teacher brought it up in lesson and basically said, what about this women's, like International Women's Day? Like, what a load of rubbish. This was a female teacher as well. saying, what a load of rubbish. Why do we need that? Like, it's ridiculous. Do we have an International Men's Day? No, we don't. Blah, blah, blah. So then my sister actually put her hand up and was like, no, do you not realize that the reason that we're doing this is because we are celebrating women, because they are typically discriminated against in society. And that's exactly why we need it. But isn't it mind-blowing that still today in schools, there are people that are allowed to say things like that? And also, when you're younger, a lot of what your teacher says, you think teachers are like the most intelligent people in the world. And you learn a lot from that. I learned so much from like my art teacher, like my English teacher, like typical shocker art teacher, like helping a gay kid out. But like, it's so shocking to me that that is still occurring. So with that knowledge, what do you think can be done?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think that that's important, actually. And kids aren't stupid. You know, when teachers are like that, they know that they're just not a great person. They see that. They work it out very quickly. Mm. And that's why, you know, people have favorite teachers in the schools. There are teachers which everybody loves. I was not one of those, just so that we're clear. I'm far too strict as a teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was not universally loved. And that's okay.
Really? Absolutely.
No, because, listen, you come into my room and you're talking when I'm talking, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
And I'm going
to. What did you teach? Did you teach music?
Dance, drama, music, yeah.
Mm.
And then, like, social, you know, whatever it was that they wanted me to go and do
every now and again.
Yeah, fine, I can do that. I'll go and research that and teach the kids something. But I think actually it's quite important to have those people in there who are a bit like that, so that kids can see that, you know, there isn't just one way to think about the world. There isn't. And actually, just because you are a child, you're 13, that doesn't mean that you can't challenge a teacher.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. Mm. If they're saying something like that, you absolutely can. And I've been that kid the whole of my life. You know, we had this poor geography teacher when I was at school who came. She was so lovely. We all really liked her, but she couldn't spell for shit. Like, because you've spelt that wrong. Oh, she was dyslexic. Like, but not just a bit dyslexic where, you know, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Really badly dyslexic. So every kind of fourth word was spelt wrong.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure that in an environment where we're still using chalkboards, that this is the right environment for you. Like, if you can type it up and you're going to
spell check can help you out.
On, great. Yeah. Actually, really, really helpful now. However, if you're writing on a chalkboard and you're severely dyslexic, then maybe working in a school
is not for you.
The place for you.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And so I wasn't horrible about it, but I was like, miss, that's spelled wrong. Miss, it needs a U in it, miss. No, not there, here. That's it. You know, and other stuff like that. I've always been happy to challenge people in authority.
Yeah, and, good.
And I, you know, quite welcome that from the students as well.
Absolutely. If, like, know, when my sister told me that, I was like, go on then, love. You bloody tell it. And then she said, everybody was looking at each other like, what on earth? And then as soon as she put her hand up and said something, then it was like, yeah, miss, like, you can't, like, what you want about, like, blah, blah, blah. And then apparently the teacher punished them and, like, kept them in through break for, like, having a go. But I was like, teachers surely are not allowed to, like, spew their own political beliefs onto students. But I mean,
whatever. Again, I think that that's actually quite, we don't talk enough about politics in schools anyway. So whenever I've ever talked about politics in school, because they, you know, occasionally kids will ask you, what's the difference between Labour and Conservative?
Yeah.
I'm quite left wing, you know, I'm going to fully put my hands up to that. But in a teaching situation, I'm just going to give them the facts. And I'm not going to put my own personal
twist.
Don't vote Tory, they're evil bastards.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put that in there. You know, maybe I'll phrase it as like, you know, it was Labour that set up the NHS. It was Labour that have pushed free education for higher education. And then they opened up further education to more people. They funded more police places. They funded for more nurses. The Conservatives are about small government. They're about having less state control, about laissez-faire in terms of economics, which means that there's less regulation. And I don't know if you remember about the 2008 crash, kids, but that was because there wasn't enough regulation with the banks. I don't know what you think about that. You know, so yes, I will give them some of my own personal information, but I tried to always be as fair as possible when giving that information. But I do think actually that it's important that politics is talked about in schools, because everybody is so there's so much antipathy towards politics, and it influences and controls everything in your life.
Yeah.
So when people go, well, you're making this about politics, no, it is about politics.
Absolutely.
Everything is about politics. Sarah Everard was about politics. The way that Grenfell has been dealt with is about politics. The Windrush scandal is about politics. The way that right now Romani and Gypsy people are being thrown under the bus, and they are being made into criminals for simply living the way that they do, is politics. That is politics. And that's being hidden in some other legislation about a completely unrelated subject.
Yeah.
So it would give police the power for no other reason than they were parked up to seize their vehicles, which essentially makes somebody homeless, which is illegal in this country.
It's fucked.
Well, they're Romani or Gypsy traveller people, so that's fine. You know, so it's just this clear, particularly at the moment, there's a clear pattern of racist intent and legislation.
It's insane.
But people don't know about it because we don't talk about it, because there's so much antipathy. Oh, it's too complicated. I don't want to know about that. It doesn't affect me. Well, it does actually.
Yeah, that's why I think social media and everything is so great nowadays, especially like younger kids. I think TikTok has been huge, because it started off like, I got TikTok a year ago, and at first I was like, I'm not getting bloody TikTok. I was like, my little sister has TikTok. All my mates were like, get it. I was like, my little sister is dancing away on TikTok. There is no chance I'm getting that. And then lo and behold, I got it, and then just started chatting shit about things that are in my head and that I think are important. Yeah. And now all of a sudden I'm doing cool things like this. But as well as that, like, there is so many resources from real people experiencing these real things that, like you say, in the past could have just been masked because nobody talks about it, or because it's not going to be on the news because this person controls this news station and they're not going to want that to get out of there. And it's like, we live in a time now where there is so much access to so many different types of information, and it has made people so much more aware, especially like every generation getting more and more aware, like being more compassionate towards each other's feelings, and aware of different LGBT issues and stuff like that. But what I've found is, so obviously I live in London now, and then I am constantly surrounded by lots of different like cultures, lots of different types of people that are very accepting. And then I go back to my small town, and it literally feels like stepping back in time. And I find it odd. Why do you think that is the case in like typically small towns, but especially northern places in the UK?
I think part of that is, I'm really sorry, it's about politics.
Yeah.
So all of the wealth is centred in London. Mm-hmm. All of the MPs are centred in London. A lot of them only spend maybe one day or 2 days in their constituency over the course of a week, which means that they don't see what it's like to live there.
Yeah.
They talk to a couple of people and then they go back to London and they spend their time in the House of Parliament. So they only care, as all of us do, you know, this isn't specific criticism. It's human nature to really only care about your own environment. But there are too many people in the Houses of Parliament who only care about their own environment, and all they see is London.
Yeah.
And I mean, London, in terms of UK economics, is very like the way that we, you know, kind of look at economics full stop in the country. There's one place that gets all the money, and then we hope that some of that will disperse to some of the surrounding country. And we know that that drip down, drip feed economics, we know it doesn't work.
Yeah,
we know that that doesn't work. So until actually we have a conversation about moving the Houses of Parliament, which I think that there is a really good argument for maybe every 5 years, the where government actually happens shifts to a different centre in the country. So for 5 years it's in Birmingham, for another 5 years it's in Manchester, then it's in Leeds or York or Nottingham or Norwich, you know, so that actually then all of those MPs see those areas and go, oh, you know what, this isn't great here, is it? So if you're in a small northern town, which a lot of them have been left behind in terms of manufacturing, in terms of, you know, Liverpool is still suffering from being decimated in the 80s by the Tories. Loads and loads of towns in the north of England that were mining hubs are exactly the same. Then as businesses like in Stoke, all the potteries, they've all moved to Malaysia. So then what's come in to fill that gap? Nothing has moved into that space. So all you've seen, you know, as a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old, is your town just going down and down and down and down. And then you're being constantly fed by the right-wing media that that's because of immigrants and asylum seekers and refugees, and it's Johnny Foreigner coming here and stealing your job, which we know is a load of old rubbish.
It is ridiculous, rubbish! And it's so common, like absolute bullshit. Wait, I've got a sound for that.
Get that out my face.
That's an old Scottish woman. She goes, get that out my face. That is exactly what we think of that. but it is, though, it just absolutely, because I go home and I got my one of my favourite and least favourite things to do is to go on Facebook and see what's going on in the town, in all the town chats. And like the local MPs, we have one of the people that's running to be local MP this time. It's just been found that in like Facebook status from a year ago, he was saying to kill, they'd be doing us a favour if they killed X, Y, and Z immigrant. What's he called? Oh my God, Labour leader. What's it? Jeremy Corbyn should be stabbed, etc., etc. And it's just, and he's like favourite to win the to become like the next MP. And it's like, what is going on? Well, how does this happen? But like you say, they're literally being fed lies and they believe it because, well, I don't even know why, but.
Because. We're in an economic situation which is very, very similar to World War II. To the preceding years of World War II were incredibly similar to this, a huge economic crash and then a global pandemic. And then we get to World War II. So Jesus. This is a literal case of history repeating itself. And what happened was as well that Hitler was, you know, put into prison just before he then went into power. Which is quite possible what could happen with Trump, that he ends up in prison. And then when he comes back out, there he is, he rises back to power.
Well, let's bloody hope not.
But that's the, you know, you have to look at, okay, what are the parallels for this? We know that when there is an economic downturn, it's straight out of the right-wing populist playbook to go, it's Johnny Foreigner, it's them over there, blame them. Do 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 do. Kill the forest. Do, do, do,
yeah. do, 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 fully.
They're brown people. Do, yeah. do, 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 do. Islam. Do, 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 do. You'll be much better. You'll be much better when yeah. we get rid of them. And it's
as that we say.
Absolute rugby.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Shit. Yeah. So, but that's the thing. Like, we know that this is how it works. We know that it's happened before, time and time again. We all know that this is how it happens. And yet lots of people get swept up in it, because if you're constantly fed the same line, like we were about the EU and the bendy bananas and making us buy kilos of eggs and this and that and whatever. And, you know, which actually, when you look at it, the bendy bananas thing wasn't even true. And then the kilo eggs thing, well, of course, if I buy a bag of flour, but maybe it's just the size of the bag, but there could be different amounts of flour in it, but I'm still paying the same amount of money. Well, eggs are actually like that, aren't they? So if I've got 4 kilos of eggs, but somebody else has got 3.6 kilos of eggs, but they're the same size eggs and they're paying the same as me, well, that's not fair, is it? So actually, yeah. there is sense to that. But that gets lost in this.
Oh, absolutely. Noise. There's no chance you're going to get that through to somebody.
No, exactly. But, you know, so this stuff gets lost in the noise of the EU's terrible, the EU's terrible, the EU's terrible. Vote Brexit. It'll be much better for you. We'll get rid of it. We'll get rid of them. We'll get rid of this. We'll get rid of that. We'll be able to do all these trade deals. Everything will be fantastic. Blah, 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 blah. And actually, who is it that it benefits? Because it's not me and you. It's not somebody who's on 20,000 a year. It's not somebody working in a fishery, as we've seen, because you haven't read the legislation, because the legislation's really, really clear. If you are a third member state, well, this is how you get treated, because you're no longer in the EU. So you can't sell your shellfish to us because they're no longer safe. So we knew that, but that got lost in the noise.
Yeah.
And so now all of those fishermen are going, oh, my business is no longer viable. And the only economist who was supporting Brexit, and there was like one who just got quoted all the time by Jacob Rees-Mogg and the fucking cabal of crazy nut jobs. he'd been really, really clear. Any upturn from Brexit will be in 50 years' time. Like, when they're talking about, you know, a medium term, that's what he's talking about, 50 years, and that would be the soonest, and it would decimate agriculture and manufacturing. But they don't like to point that out.
Yeah.
They don't like to point that out, because they stand to make loads of money.
Exactly. It's so fucked up, and it's, like, crazy that this just continuously happens.
Yeah. But that's what I mean about your small town. So your small town has had a lack of investment for decade after decade after decade. You've had all the papers telling you that it's Johnny Foreigner and the EU that are doing it. And then we have a massive economic catastrophe with 2008, 2007, which was just about really rich people screwing all of us over.
Yeah.
And of course, there's only one place that prosecuted anybody, and that was Iceland. I'm not sure why we haven't, but okay. Maybe it's because they're all donors to your party.
Yeah.
that's how the groundwork is set for those places to become the way that they are. And then that mindset is, what's the point in going somewhere else? Because it'll just be like here.
Yeah. It's insane that it just continues to happen. Like you say, we see the same things going on over and over again. Like, time really does repeat itself. But do you, like, I still have like a bit of like confidence and hope that we are still heading in a positive direction. Like, if you look at LGBT rights, or just like people's like racial rights and stuff within this country, to an extent, I think that there's obviously shit laws still that needs to be done, but do you think
especially reflecting on, like you were saying before, when you was a young boy in Brighouse, do you think that it's got better since then, and can you see it continuing to do so?
It has got better since then, immeasurably. Can I see it getting better with this current cabal? No. They've refused to ban conversion therapy. They did the gender recognition survey for trans people. It was overwhelmingly in support of self-ID. Over 80% of respondents were in support of self-ID. And Liz Truss shelved that. Why? Because she is not going to be an ally to the LGBTQ community. That's why. Because if they were going to be, then they would have banned conversion therapy, as they pledged that they would.
Yeah.
And they have refused to do that. And they've also gone back on the gender recognition stuff. And the noises that those politicians have been making are not favourable to our community. That's just a simple fact. Do I think that the opposition is doing a good job at holding them to account? Do I? Fuck, they're absolute shite at the moment. They could be a lot better. Fingers crossed they will be. I don't know. It can get better. Of course it can. Do I think that with this bunch of shit for brains in? No.
No. But that doesn't mean that
people like you.
See, that's what I was literally just going to say.
Absolutely, yes. People like you who are younger, in your 20s, and then the kids who are like 14, 15, like, you understand that there is a problem with the climate. You understand. And there is so much more empathy in your generation than there ever was in mine. You know, the idea that you would listen to somebody's story and feel something because of that? Nah.
Yeah.
Or even think about how you would interact with somebody. No, that wasn't a thing for my generation. They would just be vile. Whereas your generation, my experience with people of your age, it's just that there is so much more empathy and understanding. So I have massive, massive hope from you guys. We just have to get rid of the shit first.
We're just waiting for them to die off.
Well, I don't think there's time. That's the thing. There isn't enough time. We need your generation to step up now
and
really start banging the drum and getting into those positions of power. We need you to be doing that now, so that we can move things forward. Because as it stands, capitalism and neoliberalist capitalist ideas are destroying our planet. In the next, they said 12 years. It's not 12 years anymore. It's been revised and it's a much shorter amount of time. And it's unlikely that we can actually reverse global warming in the way that we would have been able to now. We can still have a planet that is habitable. And over time, we'll be able to, you know, make it more reasonable that it'll be here for a long time. But with the people who are in charge at the moment, that is just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just shocking. Yeah. Like you say, we can only hope. And
you were like, "Oh, I'll bring her on. She'll be dead nice. We'll have a laugh."
And then no, I wanted to get deep.
Like, okay, so let's talk about this.
If I just wanted to be surface, I'd say, so what does RuPaul look like in person? You're so fierce.
I'll answer you. She looks stunning in real life.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. So final question then, before we go, I've asked people to send some questions in, and overwhelmingly, they were literally, I think, five people asked where you got your name from. So I'm big fat not doing that. Other people
talked about that loads already.
Someone actually said, did Davina want to win season one, and was she upset? No, she just joined for shits and gigs. She just wanted to have a good time. Like, what on earth?
If I wanted a good time, I wouldn't have gone on that show. Not with me being an absolute anxious mess.
There were some good questions, so we'll get to them. Right, but last thing on this topic, what advice then would you give to somebody that could be listening right now, who is, they don't necessarily have to be like a small, from a small town like us, they could just be scared for whatever reason that it is, to not only get out of the shell, but to embrace the world?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about coming out and stuff like that, it's not a race. And you don't owe anybody an explanation for how you choose to live your life. You don't. You don't owe that to your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, your parent, your guardian, anybody. It's your life. And it's up to you what you want to do with it. So, you know, my thing is, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, go and get your good times.
Absolutely.
In terms of, you know, like moving away or just feeling a bit more confident in yourself, I have this sort of idea that we're all here for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that could be. I don't think it's a god or, you know, any of that stuff. I feel like the reason that we're here is to teach each other things that we don't already know. Mm. And you might feel like, oh, well, what have I got? I don't know anything. That you are, just by being you, you are worthy. And there are things that you can teach to other people that they never knew, that they'd never even thought about. They'd never considered those ideas. And find something that you enjoy more than anything. Just find something that you like doing and try and do that. Don't try not to get sucked into, I have to work for this. I just have to go to work for money. You know, the, all right, I'm going back to politics. Oh my God. our economy is going to change drastically over the next 10 years anyway, with algorithms and mechanization. You know, you can see it already in a supermarket where there were once 10 people at the checkouts. Now there's one. Mm. You're going to be seeing it with doctors. You're going to be seeing it with accountants. You're going to be seeing it with jobs that were just the proviso of the professional elites. So what's the one thing that humans can do that computers can't do? It's be creative. So find a way to express yourself and be creative and be happy. We're meant to be creative and happy. Fuck my life. We're not made to,
we bloody
to
are.
Do the 9-to-5 grind. Like, that's not
absolutely
it.
Nah, I can vouch for that. Big fat not keen. but yeah, I think that is absolutely brilliant advice. And to speak on what Davina said before, that we need more younger people in politics, I strongly, I know that a lot of the people that listen to this are in like high school or about to get to like uni stage. I strongly encourage you, educate, if you don't have a clue what we've been talking about this whole time, which you,
sorry,
which you, yeah then I imagine it was probably quite confusing, but educate yourself. Like, Google some of the names that Davina's just said, Google some of the things that she's spoken about, because these are real things that are happening today that will affect your future and our future and everybody's future, and you can change them. Like, just by doing this, like, we are, you know, speaking to however many thousand people right now, that, like, we could have sparked a change in something that will lead to a change in the future. And that is the power of creativity and creative people. So let's bloody have it, like, everybody. Love that. Let's just bloody have it. I think that you're all amazing and you can all do whatever you put your mind to. So let's bloody have it. Right. Okay. Just to finish off, I have got questions, like I said, that were sent in by people.
Oh, yeah.
So I will jump right in. This one
on, general
is...
general public, what have you got? Oh,
this one is from Alfie. They say, dear Max Baleg and Day... oh, they've tried to do like a play on both of our names together, but I'm not able to read that, unfortunately. Very confusing. Okay. would you please ask the great and wonderful Davina what she thinks about the commercialization of drag and whether the essence of camp can be retained now that it has been commodified? Very nice words.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's really articulate and very clear question. I think the commercialization of drag can be a good thing. More drag just means more drag, which is great. Fuck the system. But I think what needs addressing is the expectation of there's this song about it's called Champagne Taste and it's by Eartha Kitt, and she goes, champagne taste with beer bottle pockets. And that's kind of what that's where drag is at the moment. People have got champagne tastes, but the bars have got beer bottle pockets.
Yeah.
So they're just not paying drag artists the money for you to get, you know, a RuPaul style outfit or, you know, whatever. That just isn't, that's not there in the bars. So you have to kind of, and I think it's a problem with the show just generally, you know, the whole, I don't want to see any fucking H&M. Mm. Well, how about you give people a budget?
Yeah. I think
there's no prize money.
I've always said that
prize money, so give
especially
them a
Drag Race UK. Yeah, I feel like they should be given a certain amount of money like beforehand, because it isn't necessarily, obviously you can, like I had Tea Coffee on the podcast and she spoke about the fact, obviously they had the 6 month break and then came back, and she was one of the people that got shouted out for not like upping the game. And she was like, Max, when I tell you, I was, like the rest of the world, depressed, full of anxiety, jobless for 6 whole months. So, like, yeah, you could argue, why didn't you spend 6 months learning how to sew, like, beautiful dresses? But it's like, if you spent that 6 months learning a skill to better yourself, then congratulations. But I'm pretty sure that the rest of the country...
The rest of us were just trying to survive.
Exactly. Especially drag artists who literally saw their entire career and job in general slowly just disappear, like literally disintegrate.
Absolutely. And you know, particularly for somebody like Joe, who that is their income, that is where Joe has always just made his money from performing.
Yeah.
So, well, there are no jobs now because everywhere is fucking shut. So it's not like I can suddenly go and get a job in a warehouse or in an office, or because there aren't any of those.
Yeah, there was nothing.
So where did you think I was going to get this magic money from? Like,
yeah,
what?
Literally.
So I think that there has to be a bit of a redress there in terms of either the expectation or the support in order to create that expectation.
I completely agree. Like watching the show, the amount that they make just like off the show, especially all the different franchises that they've got now, I think that they could give a couple grand, especially to the UK birds. They're not getting anything. Yeah. Like, that is insane to me. So next question, how much have you hated life since you did not win that exclusive trip to Hollywood to film your glamorous show?
Loved my life. I have loved it.
So you've not been bitter ever since just throwing knives at a picture of Vivian?
Oh my God, listen, I never felt like I was going to win anyway. And
I thought you were going to win from when the cast were announced, because you were one of the only ones that I'd ever actually, because I'd seen you perform in Manchester before.
Right.
And I was like, I know who she is. I think she's sick. And I, like, coming into it, I thought that you were, especially because it was like Drag Race UK season one, I feel like you were the perfect person to have on it, because you're like a fresh take on drag while still being drag at its core values, like from the UK, if you get what I mean. So I was like, Davina's going to big fat win this. And then I fell in love with Cheryl, and I was like, Cheryl and Davina to the end. And then Cheryl got eliminated, and then just I thought you were going to win in your big, beautiful dress. It didn't happen, but who cares? Life goes on and you're smashing it anyway, so...
I mean, for me, she was fantastic. She was like a drag machine, the Viv. And, you know, I have never, ever said that she did not deserve to win, because she did. 100%. So I wasn't expecting to win anyway. That wasn't, you know, I didn't see that in my cards. And I think that also, you know, winning, there's a slight kind of poison chalice aspect to it. You know, because the expectation for you to be more thoughtful, to be more considered, especially on social media, to be more informed. It's massive. You know, the expectation is massive. And then when you fall short because you're a human, you're lambasted for it. And, it, you know, so I think that this, I'm glad I came second.
Yeah, I think career-wise, it's better to come like second. Like, look at, obviously, all that we have to compare it to is Drag Race US, but a lot of like the earlier queens with the I feel like Jinx is still like smashing it and stuff, but like, for example, Alaska came second to her and then got to do All Stars like years later and had like a renaissance, is that the right word?
Renaissance, absolutely.
Is that the right word? Oh, look at me with the vocab, wow! Yeah. Oh, pulling out the dictionary for this one. So yeah, just like got to have like that whole thing, and I fully see that in your card. So that brings me to my last question. So there's rumors at the minute, and obviously there's rumors left, right, center about everything. There's rumors that that's a wig actually, which I don't believe.
No.
I've heard them, all the emails, they've all said it, but I told them no. So there's rumours right now that they're filming, well, they've already filmed an international All-Stars and stuff. You aren't rumoured to be on it, so, you know, no need to confirm nor deny anything. But would you do an All-Stars in the future?
Yeah, I think I would. But let me tell you, if it's just pin badges and a pat on the back, I'm not coming.
Absolutely, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. Bob the Drag Queen said on his podcast recently, because they were on about, there's rumours now that they're going to do an all-winners season.
Yeah.
And he said, if they do an all-winners season, if the prize is not $1 million, I'm not going. It was like, we are, especially those like people that have been winners since like season 3, season 4 and everything. He was like, if we come onto that show and risk everything, because we could go from winning... We could go from winning to going home first. Well, somebody will go home first. And it's like, what? Like, you better have the prize to be $1 million. And do you know what? If at some point in the future they do a whole Drag Race UK All-Stars, the prize had better be a giant Blue Peter badge. If it's just a regular size one, that's just not... That's just not on. It needs to be massive. I'm talking at least A4 paper size. Otherwise, it's just not on.
I'm still not coming for a bloody Blue Peter badge. You can shove that up your ring piece.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, Davina.
A4 size and everything.
Oh, I must say, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
It's been an absolute honour getting to know you, getting to chat to you, and I can't wait until the world starts to open up again and I can see you smashing life in reality as well.
And if, guys, if you did manage to get all the way to the end here, thank you so much for sticking with me.
Thank you to you five people. Oh, God. Thank you so much. I honestly cannot thank you enough.
Good. No problem. Thanks for having me, doll.
Hello, everybody. I'm a little bit back. Wait, is this recording? Yeah, it is. Hello. How are we all? Did you all enjoy that? I thought it was very nice. Yeah. Davina, like I said, so bloody funny, so intelligent, and I just know that it was amazing. Right, okay. Life update, guys. Why I'm so exhausted. I am just fucking exhausted. Went to see my friends in Newcastle for one of their birthdays on the Friday, then came back down here for the Saturday. And then my friend came to see me for her birthday. And I've just been... I went out like 3 days in a row and I'm just exhausted. Like, when I tell you I'm so big fat tired... All I want to do is, like, go to bed. I'm in work tomorrow. I cannot be arsed. I am so fucking tired. I really just am. Oh, I'm so tired. All I want to do... And then this weekend, I'm going out again, and I'm just too tired. I genuinely don't want to. I probably will do by the time it gets to it, but right now, I can't think of anything worse. I really can't. Oh, I'm so exhausted. But anyways, yeah. Fun times. After this, I am just like not going out, and I'm just gonna like do fun things without drinking and like staying up till early in the morning. But guys, okay, so I said I had a fun thing. Well, I just have quite a few fun things coming up, basically. And also, announcement-wise, a bit of... Well, it's not necessarily sad news, because it's not, you know, it's not the end. But we are coming to the end of the second season of this podcast. And yes, okay, wait.
No!
I'm sure that that's the reaction that many of you are having, and you're probably, you know, upset, you know, whatever. But do not fear, the reason why I am coming to the end of this season so abruptly is because I am planning something else. I don't want to give too much info out about it, but just know that it might be something extremely similar, and it might be something with another person that I feel you all know very well. And I genuinely think you're all going to big fat love it. So like I said, my podcast is not, this is not the end. Could revisit it. We'll just see what happens. It's likely to be the end of season two even. I know that season one was like 90 episodes and this one's only been about 10, but we move. but like I said, I promise I will have further things coming up. You will not... this is not the last of me that you shall hear. Like I said, I don't know if this is going to be the last season of season two, episode of season two yet. So if you're listening to this, I might do one more episode before I finish season two for good. But there's definitely not one coming up in this next week because I'm just so busy. So it'll be in 2 weeks and I feel like that'll be the grand finale to season two. So I'll probably do that. But it just depends with my schedule. But don't worry, guys. I'll let you know on the podcast Instagram, like always, at BelegdayPod. And yeah, other than that, just keep your eyes peeled, because I've got a lot of exciting stuff coming soon. Get to see really some cool things with some cool people. And I think that you might enjoy this specific thing that I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but I mean, you could probably have a pretty good guess. I'm not going to tell you who it's with. But like, again, you know, you could probably have a pretty good guess. We'll just see what happens, won't we? We'll see what big fat happens. But guys, above all else, I just need to say thank you so much, as usual, for supporting me. Had quite a few new listeners this week, people telling me that they're listening to my podcast for the first time, so they're probably not listening to this in real time because they're making their way through all the other, like, 30 episodes. But it has been the joy of my life getting to do this with you and getting to connect with you on such like a personal level. And I just big fat love you all. Oh, I really big fat do. And like I say, I'm not going anywhere. Well, I'm going somewhere. Just, yeah, I just don't want to give too much away. But don't worry. All I'll say is have no fear. You'll be hearing from me again very, very soon, hopefully. So do not fear. A little bit of Beleg Day is just ending for the season. Prob's going to come back at some point. We just don't know when. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Beleg Day pod. That didn't really work. But anyway, guys, I just need to reiterate that I big fat love you all so bloody much. Please book me on Cameo if you want to, because I love... I just bloody love talking to you lot on Cameo. That's like my favourite part of my day. And I am about to finish my job. And Cameo is one of the main reasons why I can afford my rent. So, yeah, that'll be really big for helping me out. I don't really speak about it that much on here. But please give us a book on Cameo. I genuinely adore saying the stupid shit that you all make me say. You're just such big, fat, sweaty gozzers, aren't you all? You really big, fat bloody are, and I love you to death. You especially listening right now. Oh, you, yeah. Don't be looking around and everything. Know for a fact that I'm talking directly to you. You are a big, fat, sweaty gozzer, and you big, fat know you are. If you do book me on Cameo, say that you listen to my podcast, because I'd love that. Oh, yeah, I'd love to talk directly to some of you lot, especially just like, say, have a chat about like a podcast episode or something. Whatever you want. Give us a book on Cameo, because I'd love that, especially now that this podcast is starting to wind down for the season. I'd big fat bloody love that. Do it on the website, though, because like I've said, Apple mug you off. Fuck Apple. If you book it through the app, they try and fully twat you, and they take like 40% of your money instead of giving it to me, which is where it should go if you're paying me for a video. That makes no sense. But please, guys, yes, have a look on Cameo if you want to. I'd love to have a personal chat with you. And other than that, I just hope you're all having a lovely day. I hope that, you know, my words help you throughout everything. I see all of your emails. I'm actually getting a bit emotional. I just got a bit emotional then. I started to tear up. Oh my God, that's a bit emotional, that. Just thinking about you all. I think a lot about, like, all, like, the emails and stuff that you've sent in. And it just means the world that you've all been so, like, behind me throughout this whole thing. And you're just literally, like, the best people in the world. You really are. So thank you so much. I genuinely adore you all. And you'll be hearing from me very, very soon. Like I said, not podcast episode this next week. And I'm going to do a grand finale one for season 3 in 2 weeks. And then maybe I'll have more information on the announcement after that. But we'll just have to see. Right, okay. I love you all to death, to the bloody moon and back. And for the one of the last times on season 2, I hope that you had a lovely little bit of ballag day. Love you all lots. Mean it. Goodbye, everybody. Have a lovely day. 1, 2, 3.